I want to share the reading of the scripture today. Two passages. Reading from Psalm 78, actually, the first seven verses, and then the second chapter of the book of Acts. The psalmist writes, "Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known that our ancestors have told us. We'll not hide them from their children. We will tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. He established a decree in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and rise up and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." And then from Acts, the second chapter, reading starting at verse 37. "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, 'Brothers, what should we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him.' And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, 'Save yourselves from this corrupt generation.' So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers." This is the word of God for all of God's creation. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. And now, gracious God, may this word that is your word come alive in each of us in such a way that it makes a difference in how we live this day and in how we live in the week ahead. Amen. As I was preparing for this Pentecost Sunday service and the celebration of Holy Communion, several memories of communion came flooding back to me. One of them was right here at Cokesbury, back when we were here during the 90s for 7 years. At our traditional services then, we had a children's moment early in the service. Then the children would go out and then be brought back in at the end of the service. At that time, we used simply the cups with bread, the little cups, and everyone would come to the altar and kneel or stand, as the case might be, and be served at the altar. And so at the end of the service, as we were nearing the end of everyone being served in the congregation, the ushers would go get the children and bring them in, and they would be the last group served, and they would line the altar rail, and I would watch them as they would take the bread and drink the juice from the cup. They would look around to see if there were any empties that others had left and anything left, and they would kind of clean up, you know, and get the rest. At that time, we were doing mission trips to Mexico, and we went down to a place called Calpulalpan, northeast of Mexico City, and we were there over a weekend, and I preached. And in that little church, the children were taken out early in the service. And at the end of the service, they came back in for communion. All the people came and knelt at the altar rail. They had bread and a little cup. Those children filled the altar rail, and I watched them. When they finished drinking theirs, they looked around to see what was left. And I thought, we're really not so different like we think we are we? Sometimes I think we just need to turn things over to the kids. Maybe it would be better. And I got to thinking about all that as I looked at this scripture from Psalm 78 and Acts 2, which talks about children. Psalm 78 gives us something of a brief history of the people of Israel, how God entered the life of the Hebrew children, led them from slavery in Egypt to freedom in the promised land, how he provided the way for them across the Red Sea, how when they were thirsty there in the desert, he opened the rock and water poured out, how when they were hungry, manna poured from heaven. The psalm is all about the ways God worked wonders in the lives of his people, even though they often acted in rebellious ways. At first read of Psalm 78, one might think this is simply a recounting of that wilderness journey history. But biblical commentator Clinton McCann says the purpose of Psalm 78 is to teach and inspire, not simply to provide a historical record as such, but to inspire the hearers to tell their children of God's wondrous deeds, who in turn would tell the next generation, who in turn would tell the next generation. And so it goes, so that they would set their hope in God. And they would come to understand how God is at work in their lives, and they would follow him. In the Acts 2 scripture, we have the story of the coming of the Holy Spirit. Of course, Jesus had promised his followers he would not leave them orphaned, but that he would send the Holy Spirit to comfort and to teach, to lead, to inspire, to empower, to enable them to be his witnesses. And so on the day of Pentecost, the scripture tells us that Jews from around the world were gathered in Jerusalem, and there came a sound like the rush of a mighty wind, and fires, tongues of fire appeared and rested on each one. And they began to speak in other languages. And Peter preached, and as a result, as we read in the scripture, some 3,000 persons were baptized in the name of Jesus. And we count this as the beginning of the church. I was particularly drawn to verse 39, which says, "For the promise," that is, the promise of the gift of the Holy Spirit, "is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, and everyone whom the Lord God calls to him." I was struck by that thread tying these two scriptures together related to children. To the next generation, it tied them, and our responsibility to tell of God's wondrous grace, God's wondrous work, to let others know how God works in our lives, how God has laid claim upon them, even as he has laid claim upon us, to make sure we live the faith that we teach the children, that is, we teach the next generation about this faith in God, this and the power of the gospel that has gotten hold of us and how it can get a hold of them so that they would set their hope in God, come to know how he works in their lives and follow after him, so that they would know the promise of the Holy Spirit is for them as well. This Spirit of God that would empower, enable them to be more of the persons he's called them to be. I love the use of the phrase "so that," particularly when I find it in the scripture, because it's really generally pointing to something that is very important. It's pointing to purpose, typically. And in the context of this, these scriptures, it points to God's higher and greater purpose, that all might know God and set their hope in God, God's higher purpose, and they might follow his ways. I wonder sometimes, what if we as the church added "so that" to everything we do? We have a band, "so that." We worship, "so that." We have Sunday school, "so that." We support ministries like United Ministries, "so that." We have a super sale, "so that." It takes us to purpose every time. We have a prayer team, so that. We do mission work so that in Bible studies and men's and women's groups and support groups. We live stream worship so that. Adding so that to all we do always compels us to get beyond the what to the why. To get to the purpose. It compels us to get to this real purpose of what is being done. And we always need to make sure that our purpose comes under the umbrella of God's higher and greater purpose. And we live out our mission, that which we believe God has given us as a church to fulfill, under the umbrella of that higher and greater purpose. It's all about the so that. All about God's higher purpose. So that we as the church, all of us who claim faith in Christ, so that we might be about the higher and greater purpose of God. Our scriptures speak of that higher purpose as passing the faith, telling others the story of God, and aligning our story with God's story in such a way that the children, the next generation, if you will know of God's love, mercy, and grace, and be given life eternal, life abundant, through the life, death, and resurrection of Christ, so that all will know and experience the coming of the Holy Spirit to enable us to be His witnesses and pass it on to those who follow us. I would say this greater purpose is not simply about those who brighten these doors. It's certainly about all who brighten these doors, but it's not limited. Indeed, it's about not simply the children, the next generation, each of us in our midst, but all those out there that may never brighten these doors. All those out there. All those in the circle of our influence, in our corner of the world. It's about all those we come in contact with, all those we have some influence over, all those we relate to. That next generation out there, for the promise is for them as well. And for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord calls. And is there anyone that God does not call? Is there anyone that God does not lay claim on? Is there anyone who is not a child of God, created in His image? We believe that every person, all of creation, comes under the umbrella of God the Creator. I grew up in a church north of Mobile. Mrs. Haben was one of the children's Sunday school teachers. She was also the person who invited the vacation Bible school group at the end of Bible school out to her place. We called it out in the country. It was a few miles from the church, out on a dirt road in a rural area. She had a big backyard, and I can remember as a child going out there after, on the last day of vacation Bible school. And we, of course, we had children in our church who were in Bible school. We had children from the community, whoever wanted to come. And we would all go out there and have a great picnic. And then she would lead us down that dirt road to the creek that was down at the bottom there. And we would take our shoes off and we'd go wading up the creek a little ways around the bend. I can see it now. There was a bank of clay. And we'd dig out some clay and fill our buckets and take it back up the hill to her yard. And we'd spend the afternoon shaping and molding clay into whatever our imagination conjured up. Now, I have to say, for the longest time, I thought that shaping and molding clay was just, you know, an activity that to take up the time. But it dawned on me one day that Mrs. Haven had a deeper purpose. For what she was really about was helping shape and mold our very lives. What she was really about was trying to be one of those who would tell the children, the next generation, of the wondrous works of God, in hopes that we would claim that God has laid claim on us in hopes that we would be those who set our hope in God and we did the same thing she was doing. Whatever it looked like, whatever our ministry looks like, whatever your ministry looks like, whatever you offer in the way of passing on this faith, right where you are, in the circle of your influence. She was doing it in the circle of, this was the circle of her influence. She was doing, just dawned on me, that's what she's really about. We thought it was seeing who could build the best, you know, create something. It wasn't really about that. That was fun, but oh, it was about something much more. You see, for God calls to him all of his creation, he wants all of us to know the promise of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit. One of our former bishops was assigned to Southeast Asia to check out the work of the United Methodist Church in Southeast Asia many years ago. And he reported when he came back that he found many new churches springing up here and there. And he said the very unique thing about those churches was that they were filled with mostly children. Had a few adults. We're kind of just the opposite, aren't we? They were filled with children. And he said he visited them and he preached to children. They were the ones that were starting the church. So interesting. Why was that being done? So that the next generation would know the wondrous grace and love of God in Christ Jesus. So that all would know that the enabling promise and power of the Holy Spirit was for them. Several years ago, we had a church up in central Alabama, a United Methodist church that was given a building in a mobile home park. Now, this was a mobile home park where there was a large population of Hispanic people. And so there were a lot of children there, and so they started a ministry with the children, which consisted of a weekly gathering and a worship time. And I went one night, and sure enough, it was filled with children. There were a few adults, but mostly adults from the sponsor church, and the youth from the sponsor church were leading worship. The youth were leading the children in worship. And out of that ministry came a new church. A new church was born. Why? So that the next generation would know of God's wondrous love and grace given in and through Jesus Christ, and they would be shaped and molded just like clay, more and more through the Holy Spirit into the people God created and was calling them to be. So I wonder, what is your so that? Why are you here? I wonder who made witness to you and when. Maybe a lot of people. Well, I got a long list. I wonder, who are you? Who are we making witness to? Cokesbury Church was born about 65 years ago, by the way. The reason I say that is because I was invited back 5 years ago to preach for the 60th anniversary. So we're standing at about 65 years. We're here today because of those who came together once upon a time 65 years ago, and they made witness to the wonders, to the mercy, to the grace of God, in such a way that others were drawn to that. God used this church from day one to draw others because he lays claim upon all of us. God used those people to establish this community of faith, and their witness was made to the next generation and to the next and ultimately to us. Who are we making witness to and why? So that, I submit, they would set their hope in God. They would come to know God at work in their lives and follow Him. For the promise of the Holy Spirit is for them, for all, for everyone whom the Lord calls to Him. Would you pray with me? Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come again and again and again. Fill our lives with your presence, with your guidance, with your direction, with your enabling power, that we might be more of those persons you've laid claim upon us and called us to be, and we might be more of that church you've laid claim on us and call us to be. Thank you for your presence, O God. Thank you for sending the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for Jesus, for the living Christ. Empower us this day. Guide us, direct us, as we seek to be those who've been blessed by the benefit of the witness of others, and we might bless others with our witness on your behalf. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.